Patrick and our worship team for leading us. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're continuing our expositional series through the book of Exodus and specifically our look at the Ten Commandments. This afternoon we have gotten to the ninth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Praise God for his law. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your law. Your law is good. It is perfect. Your word is there to revive our souls, to refresh us spiritually, to convict us. Lord, give us the desire for your word, that we would desire it more than gold or any of the pleasures of this life. Lord, take your word, take this ninth commandment to convict us and to point us to Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we've gotten to the ninth commandment now. Of all the Ten Commandments, it's the ninth commandment that seems to be the most out of place for many. It's not because people will publicly say or believe that lying is okay. It's more the fact that lying seems to be so innocent, so to speak, compared to the other commandments. Some may argue, should lying really be one of the top 10? Should lying really be on the list, the same list as murder and theft and sexual immorality and idolatry? Yes, God says yes, lying is wrong. Some would say, yes, lying is wrong, but it's not in the top 10 of sins. Even for us as Christians, we may think wrongly concerning the ninth commandment. For example, when we look at the second table of God's law, those first four are so crucial and important to not just society, not just to us, but all of society. If you remember the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. If you remember when we looked at that commandment, the command was protecting the institution of the family. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit murder, is protecting the sanctity of human life and human dignity. The seventh command was thou shalt not commit adultery, protecting the institution of marriage. Even the eighth command we saw last time, thou shalt not steal, protects the institution and right of personal property. Think about so far on this second table of God's law, the protection of marriage, family, life, personal property. They're all foundational elements to society, to humanity functioning with one another. And then we come to the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. For many, even within the church, it seems this is out of place. Should this really be here? Is this as foundational as it appears to be in the Ten Commandments? Is it that important? Well, my goal for us as we study this ninth command this afternoon is to convince you otherwise, that God did not make a mistake by putting the ninth commandment in His Ten Commandments. That is very important and it's really foundational, not just for you, but for society, that God takes this command seriously, and so should you, and so should our church. And here's the main idea of our sermon, is that the ninth commandment forbids bearing false witness and requires truthfulness at all times. So the ninth commandment forbids bearing false witness and requires truthfulness at all times. And that's really going to be the division of this sermon, what the ninth commandment forbids and what the ninth commandment requires. Let's begin by considering what the ninth commandment forbids. It may surprise you that the ninth commandment, may surprise some that the ninth commandment does not say, thou shalt not lie. Instead, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against my neighbor. That may not seem like a big difference and may be just semantics, but it's not. Thou shalt not bear false witness does include lying, but it's more than that. Let's look at this command. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. The language here immediately has the context of a courtroom, legal proceedings. It has the word witness, bearing false witness. As a result, actually, there are some Christians, it's a minority report for sure, but there are some Christians who would argue that the ninth commandment is only forbidding lying in legal proceedings or lying only in the court of law. that's the only thing the ninth commandment is speaking of. Outside of that, the ninth commandment is not applicable. Well, that's way too narrow of a view of the ninth commandment. But it does focus on the emphasis of the courtroom language here in the ninth commandment. And it doesn't just apply to human courtrooms, but it applies to all of our speech, because all of our speech is before God's holy courtroom, is it not? For God, just like the song we just sang that Brother Patrick led us in, God is all-knowing and omnipresent. Every time we speak, we're before His holy courtroom. He hears all things. He keeps records of all of our words. For the Lord Jesus preached this in Matthew chapter 12. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We'll be responsible for every word we speak, every word we type, text. This shows the importance. It's so uses courtroom language for it. And for us, when we speak, and this is something that's so helpful to consider, even as we look at the beginning parts of the ninth commandment, of this courtroom language, every time we speak, church, we're speaking in God's holy courtroom. Every word matters. That shows the importance of this command, whether public or private. No matter where we are, what our location is, our speech matters. So that's an important note to make. This isn't just the ninth commandment, it's not just for the courtroom, it's for all time and wherever we are. In addition, bearing false witness is more than just lying, as I mentioned earlier. That's too narrow of a view as well. For God could have, in the Hebrew language, there is a word simply for lying. He could have just used that word and taken out witness here. He could have just used the word false that's here in the ninth commandment, and that could have been good enough for lying. But no, this commandment is do not bear false witness. That witness adds another element. It's any form of defaming another person's name in a false manner or in any way. One of the best summaries of what is required in the ninth commandment is taught in the Heidelberg Catechism. Here's the answer that the Heidelberg Catechism gives, and I think it's a really helpful one. What is required in the ninth commandment? Here's the answer from the Heidelberg Catechism. I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip nor slander, nor condemn nor join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works, under penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. That is just a great, concise answer to what this command is forbidding and what it is requiring. But let's look at the few sins under this umbrella of bearing false witness. We can't look at it completely exhaustively, but we'll look at some of the main ones. Let's first consider the sin of slander against someone's name. We'll look at that one. We'll look at the sin of twisting someone's own words against them, the sin of gossip, the sin of plagiarism, the sin of judging someone before knowing the facts. All of those are examples of bearing false witness. All of those are examples of breaking the ninth commandment. So let's walk through each of these ways of bearing false witness. We'll end with lying, but begin with these others. Let's begin with slander. Slander is forbidden in the ninth command. Slander is saying something false, lying about someone that damages their reputation and name. So slander is lying, but it's lying specifically in regard to damaging another person's character. God hates slander. For slander makes the list of Paul's sins in Romans chapter 1, where he says this. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Here is this list of sins given in Romans chapter 1, and one of them is slander. It's on the same list as murder, because both are the breaking of God's holy law. Then there's twisting someone's words against them. This is a more deceptive way of lying. It's a more deceptive way of bearing false witness. It's bearing false witness to what someone has said. Now, this is rampant in our culture, but especially politics for sure. They take the sound bite and edit it to make it sound like someone saying something that they're not. Actually, the opposite. Twisting someone's words is sin. Actually, this is what the false teachers were doing in Galatia, that we've been walking through Galatians together. They were twisting, distorting God's word to suit their own passions. Therefore, false teaching is a breaking of the ninth command. Another one, gossip. Gossip is a sin and forbidden in this command. Now, gossip is even more deceptive than slander. Now, what do I mean by that? Gossip, you may be saying something that is true, doesn't have to be a lie, but said in light to defame someone's character. This is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. The Apostle Paul warns this. Warns about those that learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Here the ninth commandment forbids gossip. It also forbids plagiarism. Plagiarism is when you take what is someone else's and you present it as your own. Really, plagiarism breaks two commandments. Breaks the eighth commandment. It's stealing someone's property that's not your own. And it's breaking the ninth commandment because you're lying as if it's your work when you present it. Sadly, I say this still somewhat in shock, but plagiarism has become a controversial topic, not only in our culture, but even in churches. I want to give you an example of this, of breaking the Ten Commandments. It's not something that just goes on out there, but it's actually an issue in the church and even promotion of it. Recently, this just happened this past week, a high-profile Southern Baptist preacher was found plagiarizing the sermons of another well-known pastor. And by plagiarizing, I mean word for word, same introduction, outline, personal illustrations, application, pithy one-liners, about 65% of the sermons. Pretty bad. Well, there are Christian leaders and scholars defending his action of plagiarism. And this isn't any normal type of plagiarism, if there is any normal plagiarism, but sermon plagiarism. Very, very disturbing. So now plagiarism is becoming somewhat of an accepted art within even Christian circles. Now, I just want to be clear to you, church. Plagiarism is a sin. It's the breaking of the ninth commandment. It's lying. It's not an innocent mistake. It's lying. It's a sin. Students, plagiarism is sin. Cheating is a sin. Doesn't matter what culture says or what everyone is doing around you. If everyone's cheating on a test, that doesn't make it right. Cheating is a sin. And especially if you're desiring to be in the ministry and you don't want to spend time studying the Bible to preach, then you're not qualified to be a pastor. And if you plagiarize, you lack integrity, and that disqualifies you as a pastor. And here, I just want to commend you, church, for being a church who values and puts a priority upon the preaching of God's word. I'm just so thankful for y'all. Y'all make sure that I have enough time as a pastor to study God's word, to prepare sermons. And I'm just so thankful for you as a church that values that. I never forget the counsel from Brother Earl before he left when he told me this. He said, Heritage is a forgiving church. We'll forgive you for a lot, Corey. Except if you come into the pulpit unprepared. And I really heeded that counsel and appreciated it. What I took from it was, Brother Earl was telling me, Corey, you may fall short in many ways as a pastor. You may not say the right thing every time. You may speak up when you don't need to, or you may not speak up when you should. It's like, there's forgiveness there. We're not perfect. Pastors can't be perfect. Well, I think what he was emphasizing was, do not slack in the study. Do not neglect the preaching of God's word. Now, I'm thankful for that counsel. It's something I will never forget. So thank you, church, for being a church that prioritizes the ministry of the word. Now, another form of lying, it's somewhat connected to the courtroom language used here, is when you judge someone before knowing the facts. This is a form of slander. It's defaming someone's name without the evidence, without the truth. Now, this is another needed word in our day and culture where false accusations abound. False accusations are sin. It's breaking the ninth commandment. We must not make these judgments, pronounce judgments without reasonable evidences. Now, there are many other ways to break this command. I just hit some of the high points. But I want to mention this last one. Save this last one for the last example of simple lying, you'd call it. The simple definition of lying is telling a falsehood, telling that which is not true. It's bearing false witness. Lying is a sin. Now, you may say, yes, lying is a sin, but is it really that big of a deal? Well, let's look at a few examples in the Bible of those who lied. The first one is from 1 Kings chapter 21. You can turn there if you'd like. 1 Kings chapter 21. This is the story of concerning probably the most wicked king in Israel's history, King Ahab. And you may know King Ahab, but his wife is really more infamous, Queen Jezebel. Very wicked rulers in Israel's history. Now, of all the terrible things these two wicked rulers did, you would be surprised to know what was the reason that the Lord took their lives. We're told this in 1 Kings chapter 21. We have this story of King Ahab. He wanted Naboth's vineyard. He asked if he could have his vineyard, that he would give him another vineyard and extra money. Naboth said no. Well, Ahab goes home, complains to his wife Jezebel, who really wore the pants in this relationship. She was the real ruler of Israel, as you think through the story. But she concocted a plan for Ahab to get Naboth's vineyard. If you remember the story, it involved getting two men to stand up in public near Naboth, lie in public, tell everybody that Naboth had cursed God and cursed the king. And these two men actually do it. As a result, we're told in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 13, that his village took Naboth outside and stoned him to death. Because you had two witnesses that were bearing, that were saying, hey, he cursed God and cursed king. And that was a judgment, that was a fatal judgment. And those in his town take him out and stone him to death. Guess who got the vineyard? King Ahab. And it's the result of that wicked act of breaking the ninth commandment that we're told in verse 19 of 1 Kings chapter 21. God told the prophet Elijah this. He said, and you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood. And this is indeed what happens. The prophet Elijah is sent to King Ahab to give him a prophecy of how King Ahab will die. And this prophecy is fulfilled in King Ahab's life. The Lord took his life. Why? Because of the wicked sin of lying. Ahab's lying had deadly consequences, not just for the victim, Naboth, which it truly did, but then for himself and God's judgment upon him. Now, that's one story from the Old Testament. You may respond and say, wow, that was really harsh that God would kill King Ahab for lying. But that's the Old Testament. That's the God of the Old Testament. He's really harsh about lying in the Old Testament. But what about the New Testament? Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. This is a true story from the early church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. We're introduced to this couple who were members of the very first church ever. You got First Baptist Church. This is first church ever. The church in Jerusalem. Their names were Ananias and Sapphira. We're told they sold a piece of property, and instead of bringing the entire amount of proceeds, they kept some for themselves. Peter responds by charging and accusing their action as sinful, and as for breaking the ninth commandment as those who are lying. Now, when you read the story initially in Acts chapter 5, you may start scratching your head when the apostle Peter brings up lying, because we're not told explicitly that they lied, but it appears that they did lie from what the apostle Peter's response was. That when they presented this offering, this whole donation of the field and keeping part of it, that they were actually lying. They sold this property, they laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. As we think through this story, it's interesting because Ananias and Sapphira, they were not required to sell their property. They were not required to give all of their proceeds to the apostles, to God. However, it seems implied in the text that they indicated that they would give all of their proceeds to the apostles. They would sell their field specifically to give all of the proceeds to the apostles and to the ministry. And however, they did not. They hid and kept some for themselves. And by doing so, they lied. And Peter is clear about this in chapter 5, verse 3 and verse 4. He says this. He says, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then he says, "You have not lied to man, but to God." And guess what happened to Ananias for lying, for breaking the ninth command? God struck him dead. Then Sapphira, given an opportunity to repent, she lies again. God strikes her down dead for lying. This is the New Testament, y'all. God is striking down sinners for lying, for breaking the ninth commandment. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in the Old Testament. It's a big deal in the New Testament. Lying can be fatal. The Lord may strike you down for breaking the ninth commandment. Do not be flippant about lying, for God is not flippant about lying. It is here in Acts chapter 5, we can actually consider the heart behind lying. The Lord Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 15. He says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Out of the heart comes murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Out of the heart comes false witness and lying. What desires in our heart lead us to lying? Well, we can actually see one of those desires played out in Acts chapter 5. It begins in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4. This is before, right before the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible says this: "Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas," which means son of encouragement, "a Levite, a native of Cyprus, he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Here we have the story of Barnabas. He sold his field and laid down the money at the apostles' feet. And then Ananias and Sapphira do what they do. You can only imagine that Ananias and Sapphira saw what Barnabas did. They saw how he got all this acclaim possibly from it. That people encouraged him, said good things about him for giving that money. So he probably wanted the same thing from others, to do the same thing. Yet they would hold a little bit back and no one would ever know they didn't give all the money. The desire to lie at times is to look good in front of others. It's pride. Desire to please others, to look good. We lie to avoid shame, to avoid looking bad, to avoid hurting people's feelings, to avoid disappointing others. Just like what we looked at this morning of people pleasing, at the heart of lying is a fear of man. And just like what we looked at this morning, the greatest way to combat the fear of man is the fear of God. And what more than knowing that God will strike you down for lying, for it? Lying is a sin. It's breaking God's holy law. It's the ninth commandment. That should strike fear in our hearts. God does not whisper about the ninth commandment. He does not whisper about lying. He doesn't whisper about any sin. Now, with that said, before we look at what's required in this command, I want to consider some more controversial questions related to this command. Not exhaustively, but a little bit. The questions of just and righteous lies. Are there righteous or innocent lives? Are there holy lives? That's a question you've probably thought about before. Well, I think the answer is clear. The answer is no. Just like there's no righteous forms of adultery, lying is a sin. Now, some may say, what about the Hebrew midwives? We've looked at that in our study of Exodus. Or what about Rahab? These folks appeared to lie in the Bible and they were commended. Now, not without going through each of those passages, here's a quick summary. In some cases, there's an argument to be made that what appears to be a lie is not a lie. Similar to the Hebrew midwives, it looks like they did speak the truth. They didn't tell everything that they knew, but it seemed like they did speak the truth. So in some cases, what looks like lies aren't really lies. But in other cases, like with Rahab, she clearly does lie. However, the Bible never says that God commends her for her lying. Instead, she's commended for her faith to hide the spies. God never condones lying that we see in Scripture, just as much he never condones adultery. So there's no such thing as innocent or righteous lies. Now that we know what's forbidden in the Ninth Commandment, let's ask the question, what's required of us in the Ninth Commandment? What's the positive teaching of this command? The positive command can be summarized as that of honesty and truthfulness at all times. You are to speak and act at all times with integrity, honesty, truthfulness. As the Lord Jesus put it, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We are to be people who keep their word. Now, what does this look like? What means you tell the truth? It means what we've looked at. You don't twist people's words. You don't gossip, slander, plagiarize. But positively, what does it look like? Well, it's what Brother Joseph read for us this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 4. This is what keeping the ninth commandment looks like. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up, that fits the occasion. That it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. What's required in the ninth commandment? It's that speech seasoned with grace. To speak the truth. To speak to build up. Speak with grace. Speak with kindness. Speak with tenderheartedness. Forgiving others as Christ has forgiven you. Now I want you to ask the question to yourself. Do these characteristics match your speech? Are you a person that speaks truth? Person of integrity, honesty. That your speech is seasoned with grace, kindness, tenderheartedness, truth, speaking truth in love. Now, what is a person except for their word? And this brings us to the importance of this command. Yes, this command is important because God said so, but why is it one of the top 10? Again, we looked at the beginning. The other commands on the second table of God's law, I mean, protect the institutions of marriage, family, life, personal property. What does this one have to do with? Well, this command shows us how important the institution of truth is, the institution of honesty. Just how we must protect life, we must protect truth. Honesty, truthfulness, they're foundational to society, foundational to life. Now, you may wonder, how is that? Consider if you could never trust anything you hear or read. Think about that. Think about going through life not being able to trust anything anyone ever says or anything you ever read. If it was nothing but lies. Think of history. Think of information as a whole. Think of relationships with other people. If people only lied to you, it would be near impossible to relate to others. Right? It'd be near impossible to have a society. If there's nothing but rampant lying and no trust anywhere. I mean, think about just having a think about if you know someone who is a liar, a pathological liar, how you can't trust them. And that's just one person. Think about if all of society was built around that.
It's difficult to have a relationship with one person who lies. Think about a whole society that's marked by lying. It'd be impossible to make progress. Can't have productive relationships without trust. This is how important truth and honesty are. And the Bible tells us that there's two ways. You can be that of one who lies or one who speaks the truth. And we see lying going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All the way back to that ancient serpent, the devil, lying to Adam and Eve. The Bible calls the devil, you know, one of the nicknames of the devil, the father of lies. No, he's never given the father of any other commandment or breaking of any other commandment, any other sin. He's called the father of lies, the father of who breaks the ninth commandment. And God, on the other hand, is the God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible is the book of truth. We Christians are to be people of truth. Our word matters so much. I mean, just the word martyr comes from the word witness that's found here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Bearing false witness. We are to be witnesses, witnesses to the world. In one way, we are witnesses to be true witnesses, truth tellers to all. If you lie about something small, think about how hard it is for someone to trust you as a Christian when you're speaking about something important as Christ and salvation. That's how important it is for us as Christians. And isn't our society in desperate need of truth tellers and honest people? Those who keep the ninth commandment. I mean, we're living in what many have called the post-truth age. Some people have called that's the era we live in, post-truth. A.K.A. lie. Lying age. Right? There's nothing. It's only lying or truth. It's like they're saying our culture is beyond truth. A.K.A. we're a culture of lies is what we're becoming. That truth doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is power, even if that means lies to get it. Our news, fake news, not real, not truthful. Education system, institutions at times, not being depositories of truth, but of lies. Politics, characterized by lying. Social media, characterized by lying and deceit. We've become a culture of lies. Every which way we turn, lies, lies, lies. I mean, I think of in my own life, it's so hard to trust anything I read almost anywhere these days. It's becoming difficult to see who is telling the truth and who's not. Well, for us, it should be as Christians, as God's people, as Heritage Baptist Church, we need to be that beacon of truth in the society. We need to be people of truth, integrity, those who are honest. If you want to do something very radical for Jesus, you want to do something very counter-cultural, church, just tell the truth. Don't lie. You want to be salt and light to the world? Be a person of integrity. You will stick out. You will stick out if you're at school. You'll stick out at your work. You'll stick out in your family. Because it's a dying breed. It's a dying person. Those who are honest, ones who have integrity, ones who are truthful people, ones who keep their word. Now, here's the deal as we conclude. Raise your hand if you've ever lied before. All right, okay. All of us. Right? There's not one person who has not lied here in this sanctuary. We all have lied at some point. We're all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve to be struck down like Ananias and Sapphira. All of us. Because we've all lied. We've all broken the ninth commandment. We're just like King Ahab, that wicked ruler in Israel. We're just like Ananias and Sapphira who kept the money that they promised to give. And here's the good news. God's grace, the gospel in the Lord Jesus. He is one who bears witness to the truth, for he is the truth. The Lord Jesus never lied a day in his life. He never gossiped, slandered, bore false witness. Everything he said was the gospel truth. He lived out the ninth commandment perfectly. You may say, well, that's impossible. No man could keep the ninth commandment, could never lie. exactly what Jesus was, no mere man. He was God in the flesh, the God-man. The Bible says God cannot lie. Jesus is God, therefore Jesus cannot lie. If this is true, which it is true, then heed these words of Jesus. Because everything Jesus said was truthful. So hear these words. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." That's true. Another saying from Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the truth. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus asked Mary and Martha, "Do you believe this?" I ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that everything Jesus ever said was completely true? None of it was a lie. All of it was completely 100% true. Do you believe the Bible to be completely 100% true? If so, then we must live like it is completely true. And thank God that He's given us, in a culture of lies, a book of truth. And hopefully He's given us a people who can be a people of truth, a repentant people who sin, but people that can be characterized by truth. And Christian, the best way to speak truth is to tell people about the Bible. Right? That's the best way to speak truth, is by reading the Bible to others. The best way to speak truth is to proclaim the gospel to others. That's the good news. That's the real, honest gospel truth. This is the gospel. So if you really want to tell the truth at all times, stick with the Bible and its words as much as possible, and speaking those to others, speaking those to yourself as you're preaching to yourself. So as we think of the ninth commandment, it's important. God calls us to be a people of truth, with integrity, with honesty. Let's be that beacon of light in this neighborhood, in our families. And as those who sin and fall short of this ninth commandment, may we run to the God of truth, to the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and trust in Him. Let's close in prayer.